Thank you, sir. Well, good morning, friends. This is the close of our series on the book of Jonah. And I really appreciate the feedback. Y'all have given us some great feedback on the series. And if you're online, again, we are working very hard to make sure that the sound and the other things online are good. If you just let us know how they are, we'd appreciate it. You could just comment on Facebook or YouTube and let us know. We are grateful for the feedback. And I also want to thank everybody. For those of you that are sitting in the pew, you may not know all the technical stuff that goes on in the background just behind you on a Sunday morning. We have cameras that some young people are operating. We have the service that young people are streaming. We have a brand new digital soundboard. Everyone in the back right now that's running stuff is under 18. Yeah. So we're so grateful for you all in the back, and it's new technology for us. We're learning it. We don't always get it perfect, but we are so grateful for the support and the care of folks that are doing that. And by the way, we do take people over 18 to help us with that stuff too. So I've told you that the book of Jonah is really about Jonah, which is unusual because so many books, especially with regard to the prophets in the Old Testament, are about God and the object or the people that the prophet is writing to or speaking to. And in this case, the book of Jonah is really so much about Jonah. And it's for many reasons. And today, we have the privilege of cracking open this really interesting part in which we get to see God, another human being, and a real set of interaction between heaven and how things happen in heaven and how things happen here on earth. And very often, we don't get to see that level of interaction. We don't get to hear the conversation. We don't get to see God directly at work. We ask questions like, did God do that? Where was that from? How did that happen? Why did that happen? And this book in this chapter cracks a lot of that open and allows us to see it, which is fascinating and scary. In week one of Jonah, we asked the question, can we get beyond our own story, beyond what's in front of us, beyond our own everyday list and our own everyday needs? And God came to Jonah and said, I want you to go to Tarshish, to Nineveh, and he went to Tarshish. I need you to leave your living room and go tell someone that they need God. And in week two, we talked about how God pushed Jonah beyond his own circle. He's on a ship with a group of people that are not his own people. And because of his disobedience, God has brought a storm. And he has a choice. Is he going to lose his life because of his disobedience, or is everyone going to lose their life because of his disobedience? And God pushes Jonah to think about someone beyond himself and his friends and family. And last week we talked about beyond Jonah's culture, because God sent Jonah to a whole different group of people, a whole different culture of people, a different race of people. And what we found out last week was that Jonah, who was Jewish and from the northern kingdom after Israel split, Jonah was sent to Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria. And this book was set in 750 BC, and in 733 BC, the same group of people is going to come and conquer his people. And God sent him ahead to send a message to say, repent. And they actually did. And today, we're going to watch Jonah interacting with God after Jonah's done the work of sharing his story. We're going to get to see the interaction and some things about God and some things about Jonah. And it's going to cause us to ask some hard things about ourselves. To set that up, I want to pause and ask the question, have you ever had to have a hard conversation with someone? Maybe it was a friend who didn't understand or respect boundaries, and you had to sit down with them and say, look, borrowing is one thing, taking is another, or you can't just walk in the house anytime you want, or whatever the conversation is. Or maybe you've had to have a conversation with a child who needed correcting. You had to share something hard with them. I'm guessing just about everybody in the room has had to do that. Or maybe you've been a supervisor and an employee needed a change and you needed to have that conversation with them. And in most cases, not in every case, but in most cases, most of us do not like to have those conversations. Can I get an amen? They're uncomfortable, they're hard, they're challenging, but they are a necessary part of life. And as we begin to close this book, we're going to see that God is actually wrestling with the fact that he is about to punish a whole group of people. He's wrestling with it. And it's important because there's a big question in front of every culture and every time, and that is, what does justice look like? Who should be punished and for what? And how should they be punished? How do people be held accountable for their actions, and what do you hold them accountable for? And the Bible calls God a God of both justice and mercy. And how do you have justice and mercy together? And then there's Jonah, who's watching, and he's wrestling with all of it. Which, by the way, we still do today. I forgot to bring my clicker. I'm going to have you walk through this with me. So here's what happens at the end of Jonah chapter 3. The people of God, the people in Nineveh actually repent after Jonah spoke to them. And then God says, I'm going to lay down my plans to punish them. And in Jonah chapter 4, here's where it opens up. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah. So he came, he gave the message, and he was hoping God would destroy them. There was a part inside of him that it's like, if I have to give this message, repent, or God's going to harm you, then I'm going to be happy about it. And when God changed his plans, he became greatly upset and very angry, so he complained to God. Now, here's the thing about Jonah that I like. Jonah tells God what he thinks, because many of us do not. Many of us think it, many of us feel it, many of us even try and hide it. We act as though God can't see or hear our thoughts or what's in us. Which is ridiculous, isn't it? God is trying to be so plain about how he interacts with us that he just says, I can see and hear everything. So maybe it would be better just to be open with me than to pretend I can't see or hear it. It's like playing hide and seek with a 2-year-old who thinks if they can't see you, you can't see them. So they'll put a blanket over them, but they'll cover their head, but their entire backside sticking out. And they think that because you don't see their backside, their backside isn't seen, that you can't see it. And this is exactly, as adults, what we do with God. But Jonah didn't. Jonah complained to God. Now, by the way, for those of you that think that we're not allowed to, Jonah did. And he said, didn't I say before I left? So here's what we learn right in this initial phrase. God and Jonah had a long conversation about this assignment that we didn't hear in Jonah chapter 1. All we heard in Jonah chapter 1 was go tell the Ninevites to repent, or the judgment of God is coming. But apparently there was a conversation, because Jonah said, didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? Go ahead. Lord, that's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew, and he's pointing his finger at God, I knew that you were a merciful, compassionate God. What a horrible thing to accuse God of. Can you imagine if somebody came up and stuck their finger in your face and said, I knew you were merciful and compassionate, and they said it angry? Like, what's your problem? I knew you were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. Boy, those are some horrible labels to have to wear, aren't they? And he goes on, you are eager to turn back from destroying people. And here's his response. Just kill me now. Does anybody want to say, Jonah, are you being a little dramatic? Except that that's the nature of us as human beings, isn't it? When we get upset, when we have something inside of us, we do absolutely get dramatic. And he's laying it all out there. And he looks silly from our perspective. But if we're honest, most of us have been there, haven't we? I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Kill me instead of them. If you're going to let them live, then kill me. I can't stand it. I can't let it go. Now, in fairness to Jonah, here's what I want you to think about. Most scholars think that this book was actually written in the 5th century, around 500 BC, somewhere between 500 and 400 BC. It's set in 750. I think it was written much later. So that the readers of this were reading this after Assyria came and conquered them, and then after Babylon came and conquered them, and then after Persia came and conquered them. And then they began to rebuild as a nation. And then this was written down. And the hearers of this book are recalled to remember a time before all that conquering, before these people came and killed their friends and loved ones and their neighbors. And so when Jonah says, if you're not going to wipe them out, I'd rather die, well, that puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? Because there is a part inside of us when we've been hurt deeply. When someone is taken or hurt someone that we deeply care about, that we want justice. In fact, we crave it as human beings. So while we stand here looking at Jonah, we have to understand that the context in which this book was written was pretty darn serious. The setting of this book, maybe not as much, but as these people heard it, oh my. And in response, it says, the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Here's what a very literal translation of the Bible says. Do you have a good reason to be angry? That's a powerful question, isn't it? Do you have a good reason to be angry? I usually think I do. How about you? Because I'm usually convinced I'm right. Ask anyone of my family. I mean, there's a very small chance I'm wrong, but it's pretty small. Do I have a right to be angry? This is God asking this question. Jonah doesn't answer him. In fact, Jonah won't answer him. Jonah refuses to answer him. If God asked us that, would we answer? Jonah ran away again. He ran away. Then Jonah went to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. He's like, there's still a chance that fire and brimstone is going to come down on the city, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Just hoping that God changes his mind again and wipes them out. And so here's this very interesting set of situations that we see unfolding in which God begins to actually play with Jonah And this is going to make us feel uncomfortable. By the way, how many of you really heard this in Sunday school? It says, "And the Lord God arranged for a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun." Wasn't that nice of God? So Jonah's sitting on the east side of the city, sun rises in the east, hits him on his bald head. God causes a plant to grow, shelters him from the sun. As he's sitting there, this eased his discomfort. By the way, who decided to plant himself right there? Jonah did. It was Jonah that picked the spot. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was grateful for the plant. I love that. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant and so that it withered away. Oh my. There is an entire series in just this, because God is playing with Jonah to get him to react and to respond, to get him to understand what is happening inside of him, to get him to push him past where he is to any place except stuck. Have you ever been stuck before? And you know one place where we get stuck in life is anger. Anger is one of those places where we get stuck and we don't move past it. And instead of it being a raging boil, we turn it down to a low simmer and we live there. The pot never boils over, but it never does anything good either. It just simmers. And it stays there for years and years and years. And God is trying to push Jonah out of this rut he's about to enter into. And so first he plants something that will give him comfort, and then he takes it away. It says, "And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die." God is doing all of this. Why? To be mean? To be a bully? No. There are times when our emotions get us in a place where we're not going to do anything good with it, but we're also not ever going to move to a place where we even have the opportunity to grow or to flourish. It's kind of a death spiral. And God is trying to provoke him out of this. And he's saying like this. How many of you have ever been uncomfortable out in the sun? Some of you pay to. You go to the beach. And you'll lay there all sweaty and scorched under the sun. And then you'll go home and say, "This was a really good day, wasn't it?" And then there's other times when you have to sit there and watch a child's ball game all day in the sun and you're like, "This is miserable." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died?" Finally, Jonah speaks up. "Yes. Yes, it's right for me to be angry. And I'm right too, God. Yes, yes, yes." Even angry, what do you think he's going to say? Now listen. Listen to what God's about to say to Jonah. You feel sorry about the plant, even though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly, and it died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. And I love this. This is how much God cares about life. Not to mention the animals. And then God lays this question in front of Jonah. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? This question is where we scroll the word the end and the credits, because that is the last verse of the book of Jonah. That's it. And that's why this book is about Jonah. Because Jonah is left with a question that never gets answered. And what God is really asking is, do you care more about a plant than 120,000 people? Or more pointedly, do you care about your comfort? Than all those people that are about to suffer and die. And Jonah doesn't get a chance to answer that question. Jonah is so caught up in his own anger and emotions and feelings. You know, there's a place where you don't even hear somebody anymore because you're so caught up in your own stuff. And Jonah has to get to a place where he can get past his own heart and where his heart is. To really live and love and care. This book was given to Israel at a critical time because they had to ask the question, are we going to be a people who will, after all this time, remember Genesis chapter 12, which we looked at last week, which said that God created us as a nation so that we could be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Now let me ask you, as we end this book, isn't God saying to Jonah, are you still willing to be a blessing? Or are you just going to sit in your anger? Or whatever it is that we stew in. Are you still willing to be a blessing? And who are you willing to be a blessing to? And what is it in your life that's keeping you from doing that or from being that? And see, friends, that's where the book of Jonah closes down and says to us, what about it? Well, we're busy. So is Jonah. That's why God called him in the middle of his living room to come up and to do stuff. Well, I don't know them. I mean, the book of Jonah goes through almost every excuse that we human beings have. And the question that God asks us to understand is, do you understand my heart? Do you understand that I care about you and those 120,000 or 1.2 billion or however many it is that God is pointing to at that moment? And what he's trying to tell Jonah is, I am trying to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, not just bless you so that you can be blessed. And Jonah is responding in life to the measure in which he feels blessed. And when he feels blessed, he moves forward a little bit. And when he doesn't, he gets angry and wants to die. And God, in the meantime, is wrestling with these questions like, there is an importance to accountability. There is an importance to saying that things are right and wrong, and to correcting and to creating justice. But there's also mercy and compassion and care. And what does that look like in a world that's a mess? And God is trying to give Jonah a glimpse into God's heart to see the issues God is wrestling with and how big God's heart is. I am so grateful that I am not responsible for adjudicating so many of the things in this world, that God is the judge. And there are times when I step in and start to think that it's my responsibility to be the judge, and I really don't want that responsibility. Here's what God has asked of me. He's asked of me to care and to love and to bless. That's what he's asked of me. It sounds way easier than the things he has to do. But I'm going to tell you it isn't, because I have to get past my own junk to do it. And I have to care for people who don't care for me. In fact, who don't like me. And that is hard work. As we close the book of Jonah, and I invite the praise band to come up and we sing our closing song, I need us to ask together, what is getting in the way of us blessing the people around us? God wears this terrible, horrible label of being slow to anger, compassionate, filled with unfailing love, merciful. Can you just imagine? Let's pray. God, Jonah is so relatable. Thank you that we get to see the interactions that Jonah had with you and hear your heart and know how much you care. Care about Jonah, care about the Ninevites. You push us beyond so many of the things that we get stuck in. And you call us to understand your heart. And you even allow us to see it. God of justice and a God of compassionate mercy and unfailing love. Help us to pull ourselves out of our story and our circle, out of our own culture, and out of the feelings and places we get stuck in life, to be a blessing in the name of Jesus Christ in this world. Amen.
Will you stand as we close? Sing.
Amazing love that welcomes me. The kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. But God, you're so good. God, you're so good. And God, you're To me.
God is compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, unfailing love. Go this day. Tell God what you need to tell him. And seek to bless others. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I am blessed. I am called. I